corporate board.
Back to that.
Let's go back up and finish up these initial investigative reviews. All right, so we are on 21-103. Can we read this, summary?
Yes, case 21-103, the woman employed Diana Masamaho, responded to the MVPDM. On March 9th, 2021, Coco, a one-year-old female Africa, was going to respond to a pregnancy evaluation. Radiographs were performed. Respondent did not see evidence of puppies and advised complainant that the dog was either less than 42 days pregnant or had a cryometra. Respondent recommended an ultrasound or repeating radiographs the following week. Complainant claimed respondent was conduct as unprofessional due to yelling at her for being late to her appointment, handling her pet in a rough manner, and bringing her into a dirty exam and to go through the grass. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismissed this issue of no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 5-0.
Right, we have.
Jump at the bit.
I'm jumping.
No respondent.
Okay.
School monitoring.
Yes.
No complainant. And Ms. Solomon, you're the lead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I tend to agree with the investigative committee's comment, discussion, and findings. I do have a question of DVMs on the board. Is there any other method other than x-ray for the calcifications of checking for pregnancy in a dog of up to 42 days or whatever?
Ultrasound would be the best alternative. Other than that, you can do some weird paired hormonal testing, which I'd have to look up in the book because I absolutely would not do that. I think it's a waste. But I mean, you can't just easily pee on a stick.
What the?
I mean, like I said, paired testing potentially. Yeah. Usually that's more for ovulation.
A rabbit can't die in a dog pregnancy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, dogs, the way dogs are programmed, their body always thinks they're pregnant after a heat cycle. So that's why you can't pee on a stick anymore. Mm-hmm. That's why pyometra is also profitable because they can either be pregnant and they're going to nurse the puppies, or they can get a bacterial infection and they're going to nurse the bacterial infection.
Gotcha.
Dog don't care.
So that's it. Thank you. Thank you. You have educated me.
Yeah.
Thank you. Based on that, I would move that we dismiss this case with no violation.
I'm going to second that with a caveat of saying, going through and reading this and the demands that were made by the complainant of free radiographs to be taken the next week because these radiographs didn't work, I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And then,
frivolous.
Yes, what was the word we used earlier?
This I have it written here, in all caps.
Yeah, it's a complete frivolous complaint based on the reader not wanting to spend money because they don't want to lose any money for their pets. And that's a ridiculous use of this board.
Well, yeah, and I was going to add to that. She said she would like to be reimbursed for her hassle and time. I want to be reimbursed for having to read,
exactly.
Spend my time reading this ridiculous complaint.
Yeah. This is not the forum for her to take that out because she doesn't want to spend any money. I think that's a waste of our time and resources, and it's frustrating that people try and use us like that.
She's breeding dogs and doesn't want to pay $190 for a pregnancy test. Yeah.
So I hope that complainant reads the transcripts.
Yes.
Thank you. Couldn't show up for the investigative committee, show up today, I would count on.
Yeah.
All right, motion on the floor to dismiss.
In a second.
And we have the second.
Yep.
Any further discussion?
I better not.
Better not? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. 21-103 is dismissed. Next up is 21-104.
Case 21-104, the complainant is Lisa Garcia, the respondent is Hannah F. Blackman, DVM. On January 31st, 2021, Jasper, a 9-year-old male named Hannah F., was presented to the respondent due to vomiting, not eating, and pulling up her out. Respondent diagnosed the cat with an ulcer at the base of the tongue, hypersalivation, and decreased appetite. Complainant authorized abdominal radiograms and placement by an esophageal tube to allow the ulcer to heal. The following day, the cat was discharged with instructions for feeding and maintenance of the feeder. On February 3rd, 2021, the cat was presented with blue paralysis of respiratory issues, fever, lethargy, vomiting, and coughing and gagging. The money was suspended. Radiographs were taken to ensure proper placement on the esophageal tube. Due to the cat continuing to decline, a BPT was removed and supportive care was continued. Thoracic fluid was obtained for testing. On February 5th, 2021, due to the cat's declining condition, the complainant deducted each feeding and euthanized the cat. Any process was prolonged and revealed that the esophageal tube had been improperly placed and food was being administered into the thoracic cavity. The committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Right, we have no respondent. I've had a different lawyer name written down here, but I don't see him in here.
No, she's not here.
Okay. So no respondent, no counsel, and no complainant. And Dr. James, you were the lead.
So this was a tough case because what was performed technique-wise appeared to follow proper standard. Multiple doctors were involved. Multiple doctors checked the x-rays. There was a lot that went into ensuring this esophageal tube was placed correctly and in the right place, and ultimately it was not. In looking at it, I don't necessarily know that they would have done anything different, because they wouldn't have had any way of knowing that it wasn't right because they felt like it was right. And I don't necessarily know that I can say it's from a lack of knowledge, because multiple veterinarians said the same thing. So what's interesting to me is when I look at it, it doesn't look right. And I'm not a radiologist, so I'm like, it's a interesting dynamic, but they had multiple doctors that said that they felt like that tube was in the right spot at the time that this was done.
Yeah, but I mean, we have a dead animal and basically a recommendation of being like, stuff happens. And that doesn't flow with me.
We've not historically done that before. I was thinking about, like, ultimately, you know, you can have a surgery not go right, but there was nothing done wrong. That's different than you have a procedure that was truly done wrong and not holding in the person accountable. So that was a little bit where I was going to say, like, from a consistency standpoint and how we've handled it before, finding no violations would be a little bit of a concern. Although what I would say is I don't know what would have been done differently, because she did check with others, she did consult with others,
but they didn't have the medical knowledge apparently, and that's like me going in and trying to do brain surgery and I shouldn't have done that because I didn't have the ability to do that. No, but apparently they shouldn't be doing these. So that's what I'm saying is, when you try going out of your wheelhouse,
did you look at the x-rays? Did you think that there was any question
that
this was?
Yeah, let me pull up the x-rays.
I couldn't tell what the tube was to see when they were poking at.
But yeah, I think we're going to have to go to an informal and assess minimum. I don't think we can just be like,
Because my concern was I couldn't
necessarily. I don't think I need to know anymore to ask any questions. I think we need to figure out what's the best CEs that she can either learn to do surgery better or refer faster.
Well, this was a placement of the esophageal tube. You could probably do something in emergency medicine, because they do a lot of placement of tubes.
Most conferences have something around.
You could do radiology, looking at the bones. But I think there's classes out there on placement of
tubes. I agree with you. You can't just say, that's not why we're here. So we say, don't worry about it. No, that's not why we're here.
They don't want to nail the doctor to the wall, but it's like, but this is a mistake, and we've got to follow through with the proper procedures yet. So
I don't know, though, because it doesn't feel like gross negligence, and it doesn't feel like
Incompetence, but it's also
it's a very definition.
It could also be failure to apply scientific procedures if you follow that one.
Yeah, but technically she did.
She did it wrong.
She asked a colleague, yeah, she did.
So it is.
And her colleague was wrong, and the radiology was wrong. I mean, so.
I just think, man, that's the higher echelon. But I mean, it is that. It does fall into the definition because it was done wrong.
And it's a good classic out of Webster's dictionary.
Can I stand alone? Pros and competence stand alone?
Yeah, because it's defined. Well, it would be common, it's on page 4, number 16.
Is that 32, 22, 32, 11?
22.
Medical incompetence is 22. Yeah.
Oh, 22, I'm sorry, thank you. Okay.
So, 32, 22,
32, 11? 22. For medical incompetence. Mm-hmm. 11 would be gross incompetence.
Right. And then the definition is set for that page 4.
Yeah. Yes.
So we don't need that. We can just do 32, 22.
Right. Yeah. If you're comfortable that the definition of medical incompetence addresses the concerns that you find in this case.
So we would be referencing specifically 32, 22, 01, 16?
No, you wouldn't need to. You would just need to reference 22, 32, 21.
Okay.
22.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Seems like that is much larger. Lack of sufficient medical knowledge or skills. And do we feel like medical incompetence is a better option than malpractice? I mean, it was accepted practices, because malpractice is contrary to accepted practices, and we do feel like it was accepted practices.
Yeah, I think because the intention was right, everything was medically right, the technique was wrong. So yeah. Shame malpractice.
She knew it was supposed to go into the esophagus. Yeah. She did put it there.
It had to get a shot.
So yeah. I would say
it didn't go in the larynx or in the trachea either. It's in the cavity.
Because we're in this stage, we would offer a consent agreement. For violation of 32, 22, 32, number 22, for medical incompetence, in relation to placement, proper placement of the esophageal tube.
I'll second that.
Motion for a second. On that violation, or is that our findings of fact conclusion law?
This is only to adopt the findings of fact.
This is without that? Okay. All right, so we have the motion on the floor, second to find that violation. Any further discussion? It's a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lowy?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Eisen, aye. The motion carries.
And we need another one to adopt the committee's findings of fact as our findings of fact.
Second.
That was a motion.
It
was just sounded very odd.
A motion for a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lowy?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Eisen, aye. The motion carries.
All right, so we've adopted the findings of fact, conclusion of law, the violation. Next up, we would ask if there is a disciplinary.
Priors.
So let's see.
History.
Does she have a prior history of disciplinary action?
So then I would say 3 hours, or a year probation, 3 hours of CE focused on placement of esophageal tubes, and no civil penalty.
The client didn't request money back, right?
No, that's all.
So you have a motion on the floor, and we're just waiting on, okay, the chairman's going to second it, you're going to pass that.
Oh, sorry, just go for it.
So a motion on the floor, 1 year probation, 3 hours of esophageal tube placement.
And no penalty.
No penalties.
And.
That motion's on the floor, any further discussion?
Do I have to say if this not accepted, go to an informal?
Yes. Yes. Within, how many days?
Within, not accepted within 30 days.
Yeah. So noted.
Second. Was that my question on the floor?
Any further discussion? Ms. Solomon, I'm glad you had a discussion.
I did have a question about penalty. I know this, she has no priors, but this resulted in the death of an animal. And so, not a monumental penalty, but I think some kind of monetary penalty of $150, so to speak, would be appropriate.
I mean, penalty, I was kind of like, I'm not gung-ho on it. The client requesting money back, and that would have gone for immediately. Right. But yeah, kind of like, I don't know what additional penalty would do here.
Is 3 hours enough? Is 3 hours enough? Is the other way to handle it? If the board is not interested in a civil penalty, is there additional CE?
Add more CE.
Because I mean, it was ultimately an accident. I mean, it was done wrong and all that, but I mean, it was not like there was a tension going on there. So I kind of weigh that into the fact of how much do we have to go after there. And I mean, I think the CE, just education on this is how you have to do it in the future, because unfortunately this patient lost its life because you did it wrong. I think that's enough of a penalty.
Do you think
she's probably beating herself up? Because like I said, again, I don't think there's any malintent here. I think this was just, you need to get better learning how to place these if you're going to do that, or send them off to someone who can. So like I said, I think the intent of everything going on here, I don't think this was necessarily sloppiness. I don't think there's laziness.
The technique was right.
Just stuff happened.
It wasn't right. Yeah. It was in the wrong spot. But the technique itself, the way she described it, the way she had to check, the way she took x-rays to make sure, that was all correct. That's why I'm kind of like, this is just crappy.
Yeah, you gotta figure that the death of this cat is probably punishment as well, because I'm sure, she's probably feels terrible about how it transpired, so.
So for civil penalty, like I said, if the client was asking for their money back, no matter what it was, that would have been a different story. But a civil penalty, I'm like, that's my thoughts.
Is this a cat that, if I be here, I don't think it's wrong?
It's the main poodle, I think.
This one?
It was. I do think it was up by me, but I don't think that related to me.
Hmm?
This was the one with up by me, wasn't it?
I was thinking it, but I don't know what
I think it was, but I don't think that related to the placement of the tube.
Oh, no, I don't think it related to placement of the tube or whatever, but it might relate to whether I'm going to say, the animal got killed. I already did, just didn't know it yet. That is not me. Yeah, I wouldn't suggest this as an alternative for FIVE either. That's not. Not what I'm suggesting at all. All right, so motion on the floor, we've got 3 hours, no civil penalty. You'd like to do a civil penalty?
Yes, $150.
Or, how many more hours?
Or two more hours of CE in emergency medicine. Emergency surgery. Pardon?
See if it passes, and that, if it doesn't, then Jane can hers. Because we already have a motion made.
Well, this is gonna be opportunity to bump it, if you want to bump it to five. Okay.
She's an original.
Then seeing no further discussion.
Right.
Stay roll call.
Ms. Green.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Dr. James.
Aye.
Mr. Louie.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
And Dr. Eisen, aye, the motion carries.
So that motion passes. Any other business on this case? Seeing none, we're moving on. Okay, let's keep going through these. Next up is the 21-105. Tracy, would you read us the summary, please?
Yes, case 21-105, the defendant is Graceville, the respondent is Mike Adams, 17 p.m. On September 14th, 2020, Gigi, a 5.5-year-old female Papillon, was presented to respond for an exam due to an anal gland issue. The dog was examined. The ruptured left anal gland was treated, and the dog was discharged with antibiotics and meloxicam. On September 16, 2020, the defendant called the concerns that she should not care for the dog when it was considering euthanization. On September 17, 2020, respondent started complaining about her concerns of the inability to care for the dog. She was considering euthanasia, therefore, respondent offered her the option of relinquishing the dog and allowing them to find a new home for the dog. Respondent told complainant to take her time in deciding, but complainant wanted to bring the dog in that day. Later that day, complainant brought the dog into the premises, completed the relinquishment paperwork, and turned the dog over with a handwritten note about the dog to the new owner. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act occurred. It was moved and seconded. The board dismissed this issue with no violation. The motion was approved. The vote was 3-0.
All right, we have no respondent. Mr. Spoh monitoring?
Yes, sir.
And no complainant. Ms. Frost, you are the lucky winner on this case.
Yeah, this is, I guess, I don't know if there's better words, but it's kind of a sad case. It sounds like maybe this complainant had a lot going on. And, you know, there was a friend that was nice enough to write an email, which I'm not sure I exactly followed. I don't believe they were present for any of this, but I can't see anything that the practice did wrong other than giving her an option to have the pet cared for with a new home versus euthanasia. And so I would agree with the investigative committee and make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
I was going to second with the caveat. Yeah, these cases are always, almost always frustrating. When you have a relinquishment of an animal, it's mostly always going to go bad. The client's always going to come back, want their pet back after whatever treatment's been done.
Right. After somebody else paid for it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And if you don't give the pet back, you're the evil veterinarian that stole their pet. They'll be lambasted on social media. If you do give it back, you're out the money, and they got a free pet, they're going to do that kind of stuff again. These situations always go bad. I've taken relinquishments at my hospital, and I tell the people flat out, this dog's name will immediately be changed, it'll be submitted to a rescue, it'll probably bounce around multiple rescues, and it will never be found again. So are you sure you want to do this? Because you will not come back to me tomorrow saying this is going to happen, because this dog is going to go into witness protection, basically. And so clients will do that, and that's fine. But then I wash my hands of it. But when a veterinarian takes it in, because they're the money-grubbing veterinarian that's not going to fix it without the client paying the fee, now the dog's fixed and the client comes back, the veterinarian will always lose. I tell everybody I train that. Do not get involved in rescue. That's what rescue is. Your hospital's going to take the hit. So I just had to say that, get that on the record, and I hope somebody hears me.
I agree.
There's been a motion on the floor. Any second. We have the
diet charter.
I wouldn't say diatribe, I was going to say the public interest announcement.
Yeah.
On the record. I can't read some of the stuff I put in my notes. So, without any further discussion, all in favor of dismissing?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes, 21-105 is dismissed. Next up is 21-125. Tracy, would you read us a summary?
Yes. The case 121-125, the complaint of Donald Lindquist, the respondent is Mary Ann Goldsby, UNM. On January 30th, 2021, Sasha, a 4-year-old female student, was presented to respondent for a second opinion due to chronic lesions on the nose, possible autoimmune disease, and possible autoimmune disease. Biopsy and referral to a dermatologist were recommended but declined, and the dog was discharged with prednisone. On March 9th, 2021, respondent rechecked the dog. Complainant reported the dog's nose significantly improved, but was having side effects from the prednisone. After examining the dog, respondent recommended adding an immunosuppressive medication and decreasing the prednisone dose. Complainant declined. On March 23rd, 2021, the dog was presented to Northwest Pet Clinic, non-responsive. Diagnostics were performed and it was expected that the dog had pancreatitis, GI lower body, and possible CNS granulomatous disease. The dog was hospitalized for the day and it was recommended the dog be taken to an emergency facility for after-hour care. Complainant elected to take the dog home. On March 24th, 2021, the dog passed away. And this case did not go in front of the investigative committee. I thought I'd bring this one straight to you. We'll have a view.
I bet they appreciate that, too. We have no respondent. Mr. Still Monitoring?
Yes, sir.
No complainant. And Ms. Frost, lucky you again.
Yeah, this case was really confusing, to be honest with you. I appreciated all of the input from the veterinarian to either intervene or attempted to intervene, just because even the submission by the daughter was interesting, along with the complaints account and then the account of the practice where the pet actually never ended up being seen. So good on them for having structure in sense of that, but I can't find a violation, so I would make a motion to dismiss with no violation.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to dismiss case 21-125. Is there any further discussion? One of the words I can read is I wrote frivolous again on my notes for this one. This reminded me of adverse events reports. We hear a bunch of it on the news recently about adverse events. And it seems like there's so much alarm that goes along with it. This is, from what I hear from our company, that this is very typical of an adverse event report. This veterinarian killed my dog. Well, how did he kill your dog? Well, he gave it a vaccine. Well, what happened? Well, 2 days after the veterinarian gave it a vaccine, it ran out the road, got run over and hit by a car and died. Huh? Hey, before it got that vaccine, it never ran out of the yard and went in the road. That's an adverse, I mean, that is what's called in, and that is more than 90% of what gets reported. So when they say there's a number of these reports of adverse events, yeah, 90% of them are like what I just described.
Kind of like this one. Yeah, I've had that same one where the vaccine caused something in the brain to make them do something different. It's like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in its grief, and I understand that, but.
So,
yeah,
anyway.
So, may I ask you a question, Mr. Chairman? So, when it's reported as an adverse event without being verified or confirmed, that's counted as an adverse event?
Oh, yeah.
Even if it's totally unrelated, is your
potential. Every manufacturer has 5 days to report to either the FDA, the EPA, or the USDA, whichever, and in some cases, it may be all three of them. Anything that's reported to them.
And that's why probably every single medication out there has side effects of vomiting and diarrhea, because during the study trial period, what's the chance of anybody having diarrhea on any given day? I mean, you go to Taco Bell, all day. Was it the medication or was it the taquito? You don't know, but because it happened during the study, it has to be reported.
Not what
you that's why you'll see those kinds of things. There's always those base things, because on any given day, you might have diarrhea, but if you're on a study for medication, that's a side effect, or it's a potential side effect of the medication.
Wow. I was under the misimpression that if it was said to be an adverse reaction, that it was a proven one.
No, it was reported.
They're all potential because they have to be reported. Mm-hmm. They have to be, legally the company.
And that's where we have to start going through and reading the studies and saying, okay, what was going on here? Yes, one dog died on the study, but it was ran out of the road and hit the car, or got hit by a car. But the dog died on the study, so the dog died in the study. So you have to start looking more so than just being like, this is what happened. And it's very difficult to wade through that information. And, oh my God, if you guys can stop writing
tons of numbers. Tons of numbers.
The stuff they have to submit, it's crazy. So when you start reading through those things, you see some things are real, some things are just coincidence.
Yes, it's just numbers.
Yeah.
Like some of these numbers, lies, damn lies, and statistics. And those reports have a lot of statistics. All right. Motion on the floor is to dismiss 21-105.
Second.
And there was already second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
That motion passes. 21-105 is
dismissed.
22-04.
The complainant is Phoenix Smithy and the respondent is Jeffrey Ewing, DVM. On July 13, 2021, TV, a 1-year-old female dachshund mix, chewed on a battery. According to complainant, respondent's premises was foul. Service was refused and a referral to an emergency facility was recommended. The dog was later presented to first pet veterinarian, sentenced on emergency. The dog was triaged, deemed to be stable and diverted due to the prolonged wait time and the dog's stable condition. If the dog developed new or worsening symptoms, complainant was to return. Complainant expressed concerns that respondent's premises refused to see the dog due to the dog not being an established patient at the premises. In this case, also did not go in front of the investigative committee. I brought the director to you for your review.
We have no respondent, Mr. Stoll, monitoring.
Monitoring with the suggestion that, in my opinion, Mr. Loki's F word may apply in this case as well.
You took the word back.
And I'm sure you said it precisely that way.
Just a suggestion that
just to inflame things.
Just musing out there.
And then, or, yeah,
okay. I think you're too long.
Hopefully, I didn't hear this.
All right. Monitoring. Comments on the record recording. No complainant. And Ms. Solomon.
Yes.
You have the pleasure.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. In reviewing the information, this came straight to the board and didn't go to the IC. The complainant called the only veterinary premises in the area, which was Globe, and was advised that they're not an emergency facility, but referred them to one that was the closest one, I believe, is like an hour away. When the owner, by the way, there's some discrepancy as to who the owner is in the records. So, but one of them is a great stage name, but the emergency veterinary clinic, First Pet Veterinary Centers, did not feel it needed to be immediately seen. And they recommended washing out the dog's mouth, and it had allegedly eaten a battery. and to return and to watch for any symptoms for the next 48 hours and to return if the dog showed any concerning symptoms or worsening. The dog was not examined or treated by a veterinarian at the first pet veterinary centers. And regarding the complaint against Dr. Jeffrey Eubanks, I would move for dismiss with no violation.
I'm going to second that. Yeah, in similar instances, I vacation up in Forest Lakes, 30 minutes outside of Payson, and people bring their pets up there because it's a large community, and emergencies happen. And unfortunately, the only answer most of the time is go to Mesa, Country Club in Brown, and that's your closest emergency clinic. And that is not the fault of the veterinarians in Payson. And again, to file this kind of complaint because a day practice couldn't see them, frivolous. Yeah, it's absolutely that. I mean, this is, I understand the frustration and the fear when your child is sick. You know, my dog is my child, he's crazy, but he's my child. Like I said, that's not the fault of the veterinarian. That is not their responsibility to deal with those things. We try to facilitate and help as much as we can. But to file a complaint because you were sent to an emergency hospital is ridiculous.
Right, it's same in human medicine. I can't just walk into Dr. Blokeen's family practice one day and say, you know, I need to be seen right now. You know, then you go find urgent care in ER, however far away or however busy they may be. So
yeah, I was in the emergency room with the corona. I was sitting in the lobby for an hour and a half, barely able to breathe, waiting for something to open up.
Right.
That's just how things are sometimes. I mean, that's just life. Yeah. You just have to deal with it. So.
Nice. All right, motion on the floor is to dismiss 2204. Any other discussion? Does the F word? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Just for the record, because there's some people I think here that weren't here when we were said the other word before, and it's frivolous. That's the word we were referring to.
Could you spell that? Just kidding.
All right, that takes care of our initial investigative reviews. We're done with section three. On section, actually, we have an appointment for
1:30.
So this is section five. Section 5, number 1B, and we have Dr. Brady joining us.
Come on down.
That's the popular one.
Perfect.
Thank you for joining us today. Ms. Krieger is going to lead our
Well, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us. And of course, also appreciate that you're interested in serving on the afternoon investigative committee. We have another individual who is also interested in the position, so I think we're probably going to vote on it either later today or perhaps at the next meeting. But we always like to have both of our candidates or any of our candidates come before us. So if you don't mind just kind of starting, you know, telling us a little bit about yourself and your interest in sitting on the committee.
My name is Irene Brady. I've been a veterinarian for more years than I can count. I'm a 94 graduate from Oklahoma State. I own a small animal veterinary practice in Mesa since 1997. I'm a part-time practitioner right now. I work 3 days a week. I have 5 children in a blended family. And my time has just miraculously freed up wonderfully from all their volunteerism. One in law school now, 3 in college, and only 1 left at home. So what better way to use my volunteerism than to work with the veterinary community?
Wonderful. I know I loved your list of hobbies. I want those to be my list of hobbies.
I remember
what I got. Well, wonderful. Well, one of the questions, so I was going to ask, because I always ask people whether, you know, the time commitment would be problematic, because I see that you were, you know, in practice owner, but it sounds like you have more free time than you've ever had before.
I love it. I've been very fortunate to have an associate at my practice, and I have been the part-time veterinarian for quite a few years now, and I'm really enjoying it. It allowed me a lot of opportunity to spend time with my kids, and now hopefully work a little bit more on the things that I'm interested in doing.
Great, because obviously the investigative committee is a small committee, so you know, attendance is imperative, and we've been busier these days. There's just been a lot, you know, between the morning and the afternoon investigative committee and then coming to us. You know, we used to finish up here, you know, right after lunch, and we've been, you know, late afternoons now, so I know that they're busy. So again, that's always kind of the main thing is you know, we all have busy schedules. And but does anybody else have any other questions or concerns?
Just to add, Jessica, I understand yesterday's PM investigative committee went to 6 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
So,
yes.
I just want to know how you found an associate to allow you as an owner to step away, because dang.
She's been working with Banfield for many, many, many years, and I don't know if any Banfield people here, but just not the way she would practice. And being an owner in a small practice, we can really practice veterinary medicine the way it was really purely meant to be. So it's been a blessing to have her. She enjoys it. We work, you know, really well together. So
sounds like the dream.
If I can find another vet, you're looking.
Yeah, something like
come on by.
It's going to be a tough decision because we have two really great individuals here. Yeah, of course, we always have, I don't want to say always, but it feels like we often have, you know, another opening pop up. So, but again, appreciate you being here today, and we'll let you know at a later date kind of where we will be at that.
Great. Thank you for taking the time to talk to me.
Yeah.
I appreciate coming here.
Appreciate it. Hope you had fun with the rest of it, seeing how
I know, right?
I know. It's always interesting to me.
It's working late because it gets later in the day and we're all,
chilly.
I know, right?
Yeah. We're a little still here.
We do serious stuff.
We get hangry as we're sitting here snacking.
Thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Do you want to take a break before you go on?
Yeah, I want to.
Can we do that?
I need to. Sorry, Mr. Stoll, I know. What's the last thing you're waiting for?
He fills by the hour, he's fine.
Well, just waiting on to see what you decide with Dr. Landing's other cases, or the other items that she has on the agenda.
Okay.
Is there any supplement?
We need to write that letter, so that you're not there.